Hi, my name is Joshua Kors. I'm a reporter for The Nation magazine. And before I say anything, I just want to acknowledge the amazing people on this panel. Chris Adams, who's done some incredible work for McClatchy. Kelly Kennedy, whose groundbreaking work on Walter Reed really set the stage for that scandal. And also Keith Suma, who, unbeknownst to either of us, we worked on the same series with Bob Woodruff on the struggles of vets coming back from Iraq. I am here because I uncovered something quite disturbing, that military doctors are purposely misdiagnosing soldiers wounded in Iraq as being mentally ill in order to deny them medical care and disability pay for the rest of their life. And to show how that works, I want to give a flesh and blood example. Let's go to the video.
For our closer look tonight, we take up the story of thousands of soldiers returning from Iraq, sometimes injured, sometimes disturbed, then being denied the benefits they need. The soldiers feel the war changed them. The military says their problems come from a personality disorder that existed before they ever enlisted. As Bob Woodruff reports, this is a situation with profound consequences for the soldiers and their families.
Specialist Donald Schmidt still can't quite comprehend the way his military career came to an end.
I think I got screwed.
Specialist Jonathan Town can relate.
I'm still pondering that myself. I have no idea.
In Iraq in the fall of 2004, a rocket exploded 2 feet above Town's head, knocking him out for several minutes.
When I started coming to, I could feel my buddy shaking me and saying, Town, are you awake? Town, are you okay?
The blast left him with significant hearing loss, along with headaches and memory problems. After the attack, Town was awarded a Purple Heart. But when he returned to the States, depressed and tormented by nightmares, the Army acted quickly to discharge him, ruling his problems were caused not by the war, but by a personality disorder that predated his military career.
They basically said that you had a mental problem before he got into the Army.
Correct.
Based on what?
Nothing.
Did they ever question your parents, your friends, anybody from your past?
Not at all.
The military calls it separation because of personality disorder, defined in regulations as a deeply ingrained maladaptive pattern of behavior. And because it is considered a pre-existing condition, Town was left ineligible for disability pay and benefits, and he was forced to return a portion of his reenlistment bonus.
The day I got discharged, they told me I owed the Army $3,000.
That you owe them money?
Correct.
You got a Purple Heart, got sent back, left the Army, now you owe them money?
Correct.
Since 2001, more than 22,000 servicemen and women from all branches of the military have been discharged for personality disorders.
Personality disorders that interfere with military service and are incompatible with a soldier staying in the unit, it's usually best for both the soldier and the unit for that soldier to be discharged.
But over the past 2 months, ABC News has spoken with more than a dozen Iraq War veterans who claim they were wrongly diagnosed with personality disorders.
They just slapped me with that label to get me out quicker.
After his second combat tour, Donald Schmidt was discharged for personality disorder, even though he was being treated for post-traumatic stress.
They were like, oh yeah, you'll keep your bonus money, blah, 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 everything will be great. Peachy keen. Well, it's not.
I was getting at one point three or four guys a day getting put out with personality disorders.
Until last month, Jeff Peskoff worked in the personnel office at Fort Carson in Colorado, where he says he processed the personality disorder discharges of hundreds of combat veterans. Many, he believes, were actually suffering trauma from the war.
If you have a combat tour and you're getting labeled personality disorder, there's something wrong.
I think it's just a lie.
It's a lie. It's a quick way to get rid of that body and bring in a new body.
ABC News requested an interview with Fort Carson officials for the story. The request was denied. Donald Schmidt's Army uniform displays evidence of his honorable service. He now spends 8 hours a day in an Illinois warehouse assembling plumbing supplies. And he owes the Army more than $10,000. Bob Woodruff, ABC News, Fountain, Colorado.
This problem has caught the eye of Congress. Today, six senators introduced an amendment to block all personality disorder discharges for soldiers who have served in combat until the use of the discharges can be reviewed. And our coverage continues online. You can find all of Bob Woodruff's reports and learn about ways you can help injured veterans. That's at abcnews.com. And Bob will have more of his report later tonight on Nightline.
All right, so if you want to see the longer Nightline report on this, you go to my website, joshuacoors.com. You can watch that. Just a little more detail on this. You know, with Johntown, they said his deafness was caused by personality disorder. And the more I reported, I've been working on this story for about 21 months now. It's become harder and harder for anyone to kind of see it as anything more than deliberate misdiagnoses. Samantha Spitz, for example, she fractured her pelvis and two bones in her ankle. They said those fractures were caused by personality disorder. Sergeant Jose Rivera, he got grenade shrapnel in his hands and legs during his second tour in Iraq. They said the grenade shrapnel was caused by personality disorder. And one that still baffles me, Bonnie Moore, who developed an inflamed uterus during her service. They said her profuse vaginal bleeding was caused by personality disorder. She thought it was something more serious, went to a civilian hospital. They removed her uterus and appendix. They kicked her out of the Army with this personality disorder, and now she and her teenage daughter are homeless. She contacted me because she was afraid to go to the local homeless shelter. She said her daughter was very attractive, and she was afraid that her daughter would be raped there. What makes this interesting now, the story is at this point, nobody inside the Army or out denies that this is happening. In fact, when they testified before Congress, they didn't deny it at all. They said, you know, if it is happening, that's really bad. In part two of my series, I speak with military doctors who talk about being pressured by superiors to purposely misdiagnose wounded soldiers. One tells the story of a soldier who came back from Iraq with a chunk missing from his leg. His military superior pressured him to diagnose that as personality disorder. With these traumas and the massive debt that comes with them taking back your bonus because you're too wounded to complete your contract, a lot of these soldiers are ending up not just homeless but also dead. As we heard earlier, 18 suicides a day. And I want to focus... there's some funny stories to tell about how the VA is handling this, but I really want to focus on the media's role in these deaths. I think there's a huge culpability that is on all of our shoulders for these soldiers dying. I won't ask for a show of hands how many here had heard of personality disorder before they walked in the room. Probably not that many. And it's odd because... first of all, you know, as human beings, you know, perhaps we should care that these soldiers are being misdiagnosed and are dying because of it. But even if we were automatons, there's some extraordinary stories here, both locally and nationally. I think on a local level, there are 22,500 soldiers, and you know, this is saving the military $12.5 billion. In disability and medical care. Perhaps one of the local reporters in this room might want to talk to some of the soldiers in their area and tell his story on the local news or in the local paper. For the national news, Charlie referred to the national action to halt these discharges. Well, who's spearheading that national action? It's Barack Obama. Now, a lot of people have said this Barack Obama, he doesn't have much experience. Well, why isn't anyone asking Barack Obama about the bill he put forward to halt these fraudulent personality disorder discharges? The bill is S-1817. You think that any national reporter would be on the front page of their paper if they said, "Hey, Barack, you know, tell me about your bill, S-1817. Nobody's decided to take up that opportunity. Obama took a side route when it turned out that there wasn't enough media attention to get the public's eye, and thus not enough pressure on Congress to halt the discharges. So he decided to collaborate with President George Bush and make an amendment which requires the Secretary of Defense to investigate these fraudulent discharges. His review was due a few weeks ago, but my sources inside the Senate say it's actually going to be coming in a few days. So those are some things that we can do. And I guess, you know, we can take some questions.
That's all right. We'll repeat it into there.
Okay. So I know that when you go to enlist in the Army, they check you for flat feet and stuff like that. If this personality disorder is so destructive and dangerous, don't they check for it on the way in to the Army? And if they don't, isn't it kind of bad that they're not checking for mental illness that's obviously so pervasive?
Yeah, the soldiers who go to Iraq, they go through two screenings. First, before they are accepted in the Army, and second, before they deploy to Iraq. All the soldiers that I've spoken to, they pass the first screening, deemed perfectly healthy, pass the second screening, and many of them have served for years, often with many medals and high security clearances, before it was decided that they were too mentally ill to serve the Army in the first place.
So shouldn't we be questioning how well their screening process is going on the front end?
Actually, just to add to that, this 2 weeks ago they announced that the suicide rate in the Army is the highest it's ever been on history. It was 117 people last year. And the point the soldiers always bring up themselves is they are screened for personality disorders. They are screened for every mental disability there is. So the Army always says, well, our suicide rates are lower than the civilian population. Well, they should be, because there is not supposed to be any schizophrenia or bipolar disorder or personality disorders in the military. So it's, you're absolutely right. It's screened. It shouldn't be an issue, and they brag about that. So,
all right, thanks.
I wrote a story last year for Salon about a Maryland veteran who was diagnosed with PTSD, be treated for clinical depression and alcoholism, and then was called back up and called his sister saying, "I'm going to commit suicide." The police came and killed him after a standoff. And his story brought up a couple issues for me. I wonder if maybe any of you had looked into it. One was the fact that he lived in a very rural area and had to drive more than 2 hours to get any sort of counseling. And it was, you know, beltway traffic, and so we went once and just couldn't do it again. So I wonder if there's, has anybody done anything like mapping where mental health services are and then looking at where veterans actually live? And then my other question is, I know his family has not been able to get any sort of benefits because of the way he died, and I wonder, do veterans who commit suicide, what benefits can their family get?
I'll talk about the first issue, the rural health issue. That is a significant problem. It's something that's kind of been poked around for the last few years, particularly out west, the big western states, you know, the Dakotas and Idaho and those places, that disproportionately send young people into the military and into the war. They also generally have the most lackluster of the mental health systems, and they have these huge distances, and so they don't have as many clinics and as many psychiatrists as the more urban areas. People have to drive 4 or 5 or 6 hours to get there. So it is an issue. And I mean, it's also an issue like up in Maine, the congressman who's over the one of the veterans subcommittees on health, is Michaud, I think his name is. He's really made that an issue up in Maine because it's largely a rural state. And I think this week, I think I saw that they just announced some sort of task force on rural health care that was going to really get into mental issues. But, I mean, it is significant, particularly if you're in one of the western states.
As far as benefits for suicide, I don't think so for the VA, but I know the first sergeant who committed suicide in Iraq when I was there, his family did get benefits. It was considered a wartime death. So I don't know if that was just because his unit decided to do it that way or what the actual...
Hi, I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about what kind of firewall protections there are or are supposed to be between the doctors making the ratings and, you know, appointed officials or higher-ups. It kind of recalls stories about investigating contracting when you're trying to show some high-level corrupt official is getting a contracting officer somebody farther down the chain to make a decision they're not supposed to make. What kind of experience you know that, or what kind of talk about how that system works?
There is an issue. I guess this is kind of related to that. The former secretary of the VA, Principi, he's involved with this company called QTC.
Yeah.
And would they have the contract that gives the evaluations? I think for all conditions, mental and physical. And there's been some issues raised about whether there's being incentives, if there are incentives in place for this private contractor to kind of lowball all the ratings. Mm-hmm. I haven't written about that much myself. The LA Times has done some good stories on that. So, I think that is an issue out there. I don't think it's been conclusively kind of detailed yet. The LA Times has made some progress on it.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Corey Johnson, and I'm a reporter actually at the Fayetteville Observer, which we cover Fort Bragg. And so my questions I wanted to ask Joshua, one, just a comment. I was absolutely outraged and seeing what you presented about the misdiagnosis. And I guess my experience in dealing with military briefly has just been that if it's happening that kind of widespread, that usually it's because of some kind of official policy. So I'm wondering, in your research, have you come across who and how this thing has proliferated as it has? Who ordered this, and how? What's the backstory under which these decisions are being made? And then two, my second question in regards to that, and we probably could talk off mic if possible. What are the numbers in terms of how widespread is this happening? How could we go about trying to get those numbers? And have you bumped into any Fort Bragg related cases where this has been going on?
Sure. Well, there are a few answers, and I can talk to you about local cases if you'd like. How high up this is coming from, that's something I'm working on right now. I'm working on a part three to this series. But we did just recently see the leak of a document from an official in the VA in Texas where she was instructing others to not diagnose PTSD, to instead label them pre-existing conditions because it is cheaper. One of the top officials at Fort Carson was posting notes on the office board about not trusting soldiers with when they come in and report their conditions. You know, that's a route to say you don't really have what you said. In fact, you're lying because you have a personality disorder. And actually, I want to encourage everybody to watch my PBS special, which is coming up on Friday the 13th. We go into a case that's a touch more extreme than Specialist John Towns. This was a soldier who was wounded by mortar fire. The traumatic brain injury left him with significant deafness and with headaches so bad that his vision would shut off in one eye. When he finally went in for medical care, the doctor told him that he was faking his deafness and blindness and that he was doing so because he had a personality disorder. Well, you know, he said, no, I'm 40 years old. I don't have a childhood mental illness. They said, okay, we're going to put you in jail until you agree that you do. So he was in jail for 5 weeks until finally he cracked. Signed the papers, they shipped him back to Texas, and that's when they told him no medical care, no disability pay for the rest of your life, and you now owe us $10,000. I just want to make one further note. I kind of want to apologize for the panel here if we're coming across as angry. Perhaps watching the clips there got you a little ruffled in the feathers as well. I think along with the outrage of this and the responsibility that comes with covering these issues is also an extraordinary opportunity. You know, these soldiers want their voices heard, and we have a unique chance now that they're in such need to really provide their voice for the rest of the country that needs to hear them.
If I can add to that on the Army end of things, if you look at the budget reports for the Army, well, for any of the services since the war began and from before the war began, as far as the amount of disability compensation that's paid out every year, it's flat. It hasn't gone up since the war began. So we've reported on that, but check out those budgets. It's really important. And also, I'm not going to apologize for being angry.
Okay. I'm not angry enough.
I'm happy.
I actually don't have a question. I usually don't do things like this, but I wanted to thank Kelly for the set of balls she has to go and do the reporting you did. I'm at work in TV. I actually work with Keith and Pia at CBS, and I can't imagine a situation where we would be able to do that. Maybe I could go shoot it, but it wouldn't get off my shelf. So when I think about all the people I've met this week and how proud I am of what we do, you're definitely top-notch. So.
Any more questions? I think we're about out of time. So we're all around if anybody has anything specific, but thanks a lot.